Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shafe Daily Live. Brendan Schaefer joining you here on a Sunday evening, April 21st, 2024, on a day the Cardinals were swept. I had to send the tweet today. It gave me no pleasure to send it, and it was several hours late following the end of the game that I had to send it because I spent that whole time getting with the lawyers, trying to find any way that I could wiggle my way out of this tweet, but I was unable to do so. The lawyers told me the contracts are airtight, so I said it. Sweeps aren't that hard. Just play the Cardinals. That is what happened this afternoon at Busch Stadium. Cardinals lose the Sonny Gray game. You never want to lose a Sonny Gray game, and today was the first time the Cardinals had the experience of doing so. 2-0, Brewers win. Sonny Gray was unbelievable. I mean, he was fan-flippin-tastic. I was six rows off the field. I guess that's not true. I was six rows behind the green seats on the first base side, sort of behind home plate, watching up close and personal Sonny Gray strikeout, Brewer after Brewer, 12 strikeouts for Sonny, 6 1/3. He gives up the 2 runs on the base hit there in the 7th. It was going to be the last batter of the day for him. You figured. And unfortunately for the Cardinals and for Sonny, base hit into left field, scores a couple of runs. I thought it was an interesting situation because it sort of mirrored what we saw from Sonny Gray the first time he pitched at Busch Stadium. Aldi Marmol came out. We knew what the pitch count would be that day, and he was basically right up against it. And Aldi said, "This is your guy." But there was one out, and you had a runner on first. I think it might have been first and second, first and third, whatever the case was. They had a man on first. And Sonny said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get a double play ball and get out of this." And that's exactly what he did that first time. This time, the Brewers, I credit them. Runner on first, stole second base early in the next count, basically taking the double play out of order and knowing that Sonny was not going to be able to finish the inning. At that point, I said, yeah, he's not going to finish this inning. Even if he gets this out, he's not going to be able to pull out the double play, the rabbit out of the hat like he did the first time. I thought that was pretty smart by Milwaukee, knowing that he was probably up against whatever pitch count was prescribed for him. I don't know if it was too publicly stated this time. Like I said, I wasn't there covering the game today. But you figured maybe 90, and he did end up going up and over 90 during that last batter. So kind of interesting there, but it ends up going the way that it goes. Sonny Gray gives up 2 runs. That shouldn't be a blemish on his day. Neither should the L next to his name. 6 1/3, gave up 5 hits, 2 runs. They were earned in the 7th. Walked 1 and struck out a dozen. 12 strikeouts for Sonny Gray, whose ERA balloons from 0.00 to 1.04. So this is still a guy, like if he continues pitching like this, he is in line for some Cy Young conversation. There's no doubt about it. Sonny Gray has been everything that he was advertised to be and probably then some with the way that he's performed through 3 games this season. The offense for the St. Louis Cardinals, however, has not been the same situation. They are down bad, as the kids would say. And I don't know if there's any end in sight. I think eventually this offense can't possibly be this bad. But is it, I mean, if you were to say how much longer are they going to be going through this, impossible to say. there are a number of guys I heard after the game, Ollie Marmol talking to the media, and this has been sort of the line the last couple days. I mean, there are guys in this lineup that aren't feeling great, and they're having to go out there and try and come through in these situations. The Cardinals were 0-for today with runners in scoring position, and they had a number of occasions where they could have maybe done a little bit of damage. The home run that wasn't by Lars Nootbaar was a killer. Home run to right center, basically straightaway center, just a little bit right of center, if I'm recalling it correctly. Brought back into the park by Blake Perkins, the Milwaukee center fielder. It was a really nice catch. I saw maybe it had a high catch probability because it was hit so high, but Nootbaar put a great swing on it. Cardinals would be leading 3-0 out of the gate if not for that catch. So that's a moment where you did something well, you didn't catch the break you needed. Where do you go from there? The Cardinals didn't ever really get up off the mat. In their next opportunities to score, they continued to fall flat. They continued to, with two outs, multiple runners on base, have a pop-up, I think one was Goldschmidt pop-up. They had multiple guys unable to come through. Arenado and Burleson, Wilson Contreras, Mason Winn had opportunities leaving runners in scoring position with two outs. It's tough. It's tough in those streets right now for the St. Louis Cardinals. I will give you the season-long statistics because they're gnarly. They're a bottom five offense at this point. I don't think there's any other way to slice it. They're 29th in home runs. I believe it's 26th in OPS. Yeah, they're 26th in OPS with a 634 collective OPS. Runs scored, I'll give you that number here in just a moment. MLB.com updating as we speak. 27th in runs scored. The Cardinals have played 22 games. They've scored 76 runs. Let's do a little quick math. 3.45 runs per game. And, of course, the games where they score 9, which it hasn't happened often, but it happens occasionally, those tend to buoy your total. The haunting part is the number of games where they have scored fewer than 4 runs. 3 runs or fewer has been a brutal stat for the Cardinals so far this year, and it continued today. So we'll get into it. Let me know what's standing out to you about this Cardinal game, about this Cardinal team right now. I believe they have, I didn't vet this, I meant to vet this, but I saw it everywhere, so I think it's probably true. Through 22 games, the Cardinals have the same record as they had last year. Yeah, we're invoking 2023, and that's not what anybody wanted to hear for April of 2024. Because last year was a bummer. It was a big, big, big-time bummer, but the Cardinals are kind of sitting in a similar spot. And then I think late April, they really, really started to crater last year, if I remember. Yep, on Sunday, April 23rd, 2023, the Cardinals were 9-13. So are you concerned that this is last year's team reincarnated? Because I think that would be, if there's even a whisper of that being a consideration, that's rough because last year was bad. Is that a concern you have right now as a Cardinals fan? Do you think that this team, which is obviously not hitting at present, 28th, I believe it is, in batting average with runners in scoring position, all the offensive numbers are rough. Is there a concern for you that this is just the team that they are? Or do you subscribe to the idea that there's time? I hate to say the word early because there's a connotation to that, but do you feel that there is still time for an offense that's filled with players that don't normally struggle to this extent? Is there time for those guys to turn it on in your mind? How are you feeling tonight about the Cardinals? Let me know in the comments section below the live chat. All you got to do is subscribe to get involved in the live chat. We put Cardinals content on this channel every day, and it's free to subscribe, so you're going to want to do that anyway. So hit subscribe. I'm going to take a quick drink, and then we're going to jump right into the comments. I don't need to say much else about this game that you guys need to just hear me pontificate on it. We'll get into your comments right away. All right, hopefully that didn't take us completely out of kilter, because I know that sometimes the little waiting room video that I put out there sometimes last year was problematic. So hopefully you can still see me and hear me. I see we've got plenty of comments. I'm feeling a little under the weather, so if I cough into the mic at some point, please do forgive me. Had to make this live stream happen on Sunday. Let's get into it. Allison said, let's go. Love hearing your take on things. Just wish it was after a Cardinal win. Yep, no Cardinal wins this weekend. Sweep to the Brewers. The first place Brewers, mind you. And that's a team that a lot of people wrote off when they traded Corbin Burns. And I said, look, I think that's gonna decrease their upside for sure. There's no doubt about that. But I also thought their trading of Burns was not an admission that they weren't going to try this year or that they were tanking this year. I thought they traded Burns because they blew it with him in ARB, and that arbitration hearing a couple years prior didn't go well. He came away from it feeling, I think he had some hurt feelings. And basically at that point, I said, this is a burned bridge, and they're not going to be able to re-sign this guy when he hits free agency. And I think they knew that. So they traded it, but that didn't mean the rest of their team wasn't capable. They churn out relief pitchers like nobody's business. Milwaukee's always got two or three relievers where that you've never heard of, but they are absolutely locking things down. So that's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Excuse me. That's gnarly, folks, but that's just going to be what it is tonight. I'll tell you what, man. I don't know if it's seasonal allergies or what it is, but I am going through it when it comes to the, just like the coughing and the sniffling kind of thing. If anybody else has kids in daycare out there, they probably know what I'm talking about too. It's like a different virus every week. I swear. It's been a rough spring. All right. Kyle wants me to talk everybody off the ledge. I don't know if I can, Kyle. And Ikta, what's going on? I see your comment too. I don't know if I can talk you off the ledge because I'm not going to sit here and go, well, it's early, so the offense is going to be fine. Here's what I do believe to be true about the Cardinals offense. I think whatever they are right now, 630 OPS, they're like 26th in baseball. I just read you all the numbers, rattled them straight off for you. I don't think the Cardinals will be that bad. I don't think Paul Goldschmidt ends the year with a 509 OPS or whatever it is right now. Goldie went 1-for-3 today with a walk as well, by the way, 507 OPS. So he was on base a couple of times. I don't think Goldie's going to have a 50-whatever OPS. I think he'll at least have a 700 OPS. But if Goldie has like a 729 OPS, that is a massive problem. He's a league average hitter in a world where he's got to be one of the best players in your lineup. So how do you make up for that production? Jordan Walker, he wasn't in the lineup today. They're hiding him from time to time because he hasn't looked consistently comfortable at the plate. I don't think he's going to have a 530 OPS or whatever he has as of today. But again, if it's only 720 for his OPS instead of he was 787 last year. And that was as a 21-year-old rookie, 20/21-year-old rookie. So are these guys going to be as bad as they've been? I don't think that's the case. The same is applicable to Nolan Gorman. We're already an eighth of the way through the season, maybe even a little beyond that now. So I think it's difficult to look at those guys and say, well, they'll just be their normal selves. If they're their normal selves the rest of the year, that's helpful, but you're already kind of digging a hole. So guys are going to almost have to be better than their normal selves. And so far, you're getting the best version of Sonny Gray. I think you're getting pretty darn near the best version of Lance Lynn. Steven Matz has been pretty good. Miles Michaelis has been problematic, and I don't know what's going to change on that front. Some of the sliders he threw Saturday, man, that were hit for home runs, I thought that's not good. His stuff is hittable when it catches too much of the zone this year. So maybe he gets better than he's been, but I don't know what that looks like. Gibby's been pretty good. I know the ERA is in the fives, but he's done a nice job. Take away, and I know you can't do this, but take away the 6-run inning against Miami where I'm pretty sure he was tipping pitches and that was the explanation. I think we're far enough from that now that we can kind of wonder if that was going on. I don't think that was ever confirmed, but six runs in one inning, you take that away, he's got like a 3 ERA. So for me, Kyle Gibson's been exactly what you were hoping to get. Right now, by the way, we're at 11 likes. Victor Scott, number of likes. And he's, of course, been sent down to Memphis. But like this video so we can get it up to the number of a player who's at least still on the active roster. And we'll talk about the Victor Scott stuff. If anybody wants to hear more, feel free to comment with that question. The other side of that is I think we kind of all know the deal with that, but I'm happy to get into it. We talked about, we kind of said over the weekend it felt like there could be a move coming at some point. Would they wait it out until Matt Carpenter or whoever was first off the IL could return? They felt no was the answer to that, and so they call up Pedro Páez to be the third catcher, which gives you coverage when you want Herrera and Contreras in there as much as possible anyway. So that's the deal on that. Korn said, man, I did a good job distracting today with a few cold ones on the course. Oh, I want to play some golf with you, Korn. But now it's back to sad town with this team. Yep, that was the kind of day. But, man, if you missed the game, you missed an all-time, well, let me calm down. You missed a really, really good performance by Sonny Gray. 12 strikeouts. I don't know when the last time a Cardinal did that was, but it doesn't feel like it was particularly recent. And he was just dominant through six innings. Seventh inning got away from him a little bit, kind of coming up to obviously a season high on pitch count and was getting into the 90s, and so that was unfamiliar terrain. But he was flat-out disgusting, nasty, largely you couldn't do anything to him in those first handful of innings. 93 pitches today for Gray. And I think he was he was at like 75 pitches and had thrown only 20 balls or something. On the day, he ended up only throwing 29, but I think a number of them came in that last inning. He was fantastic. I cannot say enough about it. I know that you'll look at the box score and go, oh, 6 1/3, 2 runs. Okay, quality start, nice work, but it was more than that. It was really more than that for Sonny today. So if you saw the game, tell me what you thought of Sonny Gray, because at least we can bring some element of positivity into this video with just talking Sonny. And now my stream, as I watch the video here, is a number of minutes behind, so I'm just seeing on stream when I coughed. I will try to just turn off my camera the next time. I apologize for that. let's see here. Ikta said, Sonny Gray is fantastic, everything I had hoped for. Just Jershon says, hey, Brendan, sorry you and the fam had to sit through that clunker today. Thoughts on Gorman if Fermin keeps raking in Memphis? Any chance we see the two swap places? I think Nolan Gorman feels like a little bit too established to be a guy that's going to be susceptible to getting sent down. Could be wrong on that, but I just don't think. Here's the thing. Credit to Fermin for what he's doing. And I'll pull up his numbers right now so that we can get an accurate depiction of it. But when he's been in the big leagues, we haven't really seen that from Jose Fermin to this point as somebody that could be a plus bat. Think about Nolan Gorman when he's at his best offensively, right? And he's a pretty good defender. I'm not going to worry about parsing the difference between Fermin and Gorman defensively at second base. And we know that Donovan could play second too. So it's not even that. It's just like if you wanted to send Gorman down, you could. But let's talk about why I don't think that's maybe the right choice. When he is at his best, you think about what Nolan Gorman can be. He had a 117 OPS plus last year, struggling through a lot of things at various times, had some moments in some periods of the season where he would catch fire and carry the lineup for a period of time. A 104 OPS plus 2 years ago as a rookie. So he's got a little bit of a track record where you look at 780 plate appearances or so before this year, big league plate appearances, and he was an above average hitter for sure. With upside that I just don't think a Jose Fermin really has. Like, is he going to hit 27 homers in a big league season? That's never going to happen. Nolan Gorman did it last year. You know, I just think I understand it's hard to sit through right now the struggles of this offense, but if you're Ollie Marmol, if you're John Mozeliak, I don't really know what you can do differently, and people will say shuffle the lineup. You have to be able to shuffle the lineup. We're up to 20 likes. We like that. Let's get it up to 25. Shuffle the lineup. Well, we saw that today, right? I kind of went on a rant over, I think it was Friday night's B-Shafe Daily, about all the calls to shuffle the lineup. Actually, it might have been Saturday night because Saturday morning was when Ollie talked to the media. I was covering that pregame about, look, you can shuffle the lineup all you want, but at the end of the day, if Goldie and Gorman and guys like him aren't hitting doubles and homers in the middle of the lineup, you know, and then he just didn't finish. His voice sort of trailed off because we knew what the implication was of that. If those guys aren't performing, you know the drill. You know what that's going to mean. It's not going to mean good things for this team. Like I said, folks, I am really, really, really going through it. So I apologize for the pauses that I will have to do from time to time. If those guys aren't performing in the middle of your lineup, this Cardinals team is doomed. So you could say we have to win today and Paul Goldschmidt today isn't isn't himself, and Gorman today is not himself. So we're gonna have to take the we're gonna send down Nolan Gorman. All right, and like maybe you bring up a Fermin or you put somebody else in the lineup that day, and maybe that guy does, in his heart of hearts, have a better chance of getting a hit, getting a clutch thing to happen on that day. But my thought is, and I think the Cardinals and Ollie Marmol feel this way too, if you don't see through with guys like Goldie and Gorman, you're never going to access the upside that they bring, and that upside is what can get the Cardinals to the playoffs. It's what can get them to contend in the division. You're not going to get there without them, so you might as well continue to ride them. Now, riding them in a different spot of the lineup is fine, and today they did that. Gorman was eighth, Goldie was fifth, so they made that move. If that's your argument, then you won. But what did it get you today? Nothing. So to me, and again, today was the day that you didn't want Goldie in the five hole because it so happened that there was a big spot, I think bases loaded, and he wasn't able to come through. So you get what you ask for, basically, right? You say, well, move him to a different spot because then on Saturday, if he hadn't been in this spot in the lineup, it would have been great. It would have worked out because somebody else that can hit would have been there and Goldie's not feeling himself right now. Great. But that every game is different, right? You don't know where the big spot's going to be. And so Ollie goes, all right, fine, I'll move him down. Well, damn, today was the big spot. The five hole had it and it still found Goldschmidt, right? So I really don't think doing anything with the lineup. Ollie could say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Goldschmidt in the leadoff today, and then every day I'm just going to move him down one, and he's going to just cycle through. Because I think there's just as good of a chance of that mix causing him to come out of the slump than as there is leaving him in the two-hole, as there is leaving him in the five-hole, as there is experimenting with, you know, some rhyme or reason. I just don't think, and honestly, you could make the case that Arenado's seeing the ball better lately at the plate. And if Goldie is behind him, I don't think the protection thing is too valid, but if somebody is struggling to the extent of a Goldie, then they'll just pitch around Arenado. I don't know that protection may not be a full thing, but it seems to work in reverse, where if you have a light-hitting player behind you or a guy really struggling behind you or he's going to have a bad matchup, they're going to be more inclined to face that guy than to face the cleanup hitter. So you could even make the case that having some of the best hitters in the lineup still batting behind Goldie could possibly help him rather than hinder him or hinder the team. So that would maybe be the other argument to not changing the lineup around. Like I said, I think I won't spend too much time on the lineup because I just don't think it matters that much. I think these guys are going to hit or they're not going to hit, and we're going to know based on that what this Cardinals season is going to be. Because you're getting it from the pitchers. The pitchers are doing their job. The offense is not. It is no more complicated than that right now. So, Jurchen, as much as I get it, Fermin maybe deserves a shot. I'm not sending Gorman down. I'll bat him eighth. That's fine. You can move him down in the order. But I'm going to play him against every right-handed starter. I'm going to pick my spots against lefties with him probably, only just to make sure I'm getting in other guys that I want to see opportunities. And that's the way I would handle it. I would not personally make that move. Because, again, you can sit him in Memphis and maybe he figures something out, but I also think he's got just as good of a chance as a three-year veteran of the league. Not a veteran, but he's been in the big leagues for 3 years now. I think he's got just as good of a chance of fighting through it up here at this point in his career. Like, you can't always just turn back to send a guy down because he's struggling. He's got to be the guy, and if he's not the guy, the Cardinals are going to have a tough time this year. And that'll be unfortunate if it is the case. 27 likes, we're at Scott Rowland. Keep it rolling, guys. Thank you for the likes. Korn says, what's that hat? Looks icy. Yeah, it's a Bucky's hat, man. It's a Bucky's hat that I've had for a few years. I'm a Bucky's stan. They're not a sponsor, but they should be. They probably wouldn't sponsor because we don't have a Bucky's in St. Louis. There is one in Springfield, though, now. I've heard. I haven't been to it. I've been to, like, every other Bucky's, except the ones in Alabama. I've been to all the Bucky's in Florida, and a good handful of them in Texas. Korn said, let's talk about just anything but the Cardinals so as to improve my mood. I got bad news for you, brother. This will be a Cardinals-centric live stream. But I am trying to get a PS5 so I can do some MLB The Show at some point and then be able to talk about other stuff, not just the Cardinals on those live streams. We'll see. Sober Soup, this game was the last straw on the camel's back. when it comes to me following the Cards this season. Well, that's unfortunate. But I also understand if your mental health is better to not have to sit through it every day, I can't blame you. Allison asked for the thoughts on the bullpen. Yeah, the bullpen was good. Ollie Marmol went to his main dudes because I think even though you're losing 2-0 at that point, I think it makes sense to try and go to your dudes to keep it close just in case your offense can muster something. You can't concede a sweep to the division-leading Brewers. You just can't. So they go JoJo, they go Kittredge, and Libby comes in and did a nice job too. I thought that was smart. Use your best guys because you didn't use them yesterday. A lot of guys were burned yesterday. But like he could have gone right to Nick Robertson and said, well, we're down, so we're going to... No, they used the best that they could muster at that point, and I agreed with it. They pitched well. When Mo fired Schilt, this is from Billy, it signaled a shift toward analytics. It's not working or we're bad at it. Your thoughts? I don't think that Mo firing Schilt signaled a shift toward analytics necessarily. I think they employed them already. I think it signaled a shift toward there were interpersonal things going on between Schilt and the front office and coaching staff and whatever the case was that they made the decision that they made. I don't think it's that Mike Schilt ignored analytics. I do think he was a little more old school, but there's a lot of old school in Ollie Marmol as well. So I don't look, we can talk about coaching till we're blue in the face. I do believe it might just be as simple as Paul Goldschmidt probably needs to hit. Like 2 years ago, Paul Goldschmidt was the MVP of the league. It's not now that he's just, oh, it's analytics. That's the problem. This is not, it's a buzzword for fans, but you don't have an accurate view of what's happening if that's the way you view the world of Major League Baseball, right? There are times where that's the discussion, but right now we're talking about a team that is simply not hitting the baseball. They're not coming through with runners in scoring position. There's not really a lot of analytics to that. Get a hit. Hit some home runs. Like when people say analytics, I think a lot of times, well, launch angle is something that people associate with being a modernized and a new age element of the game. Launch angle, hit some home runs. The Cardinals are 29th in homers. So if they're feeding into that version of the modern games, you know, analytics with launch angle, they're not doing a good job of it. I would agree. I think it's more about the hitters and the players than it is the coaching, than it is the philosophy. Because you can have a philosophy and a guy cannot do it. He can try to do it. Guy can try to do that philosophy at the plate and he can fail to execute. I remember as it pertained to the philosophical differences of firing Mike Schilt, Ben Hockman asked not to ask a simple question, but he said, if you have a philosophy and a guy doesn't agree with it, why can't you just tell that guy to do your philosophy? And Mo famously told him, well, I could tell you to jump out of your car right now, but you're probably not going to do it. The coaching can say, hey, here's our philosophy. Here's what we should do. And the players can be bought into that. But there's a world in which they can fail to execute because the pitchers executed better. That's an unfortunate world to live in because there's not a lot of things to pinpoint and fix about that other than just get better. And that's easier said than done. But I do believe that's where the Cardinals are right now. So for me, it's not like you could fire Turner Ward and let him be the sacrificial lamb. I don't know that it's going to make a difference. Maybe there is an element of that because I think the players like Turner Ward and they respect him. And maybe if you get a guy that you like and respected fired, maybe that lights a fire under you a little bit. I could see that angle. I don't know if that feels like a hockey kind of move more than a baseball move, but I think we've seen it work before in baseball. But I also don't think that that's the thing we just should automatically jump to because, you know, it is a guy's job. It is a guy's livelihood. Now, the response from the fan is going to be, yeah, but if he's not doing his job, if he's not producing results, why wouldn't Turner Ward be under the microscope? I understand, and that's just a feel kind of thing for the organization. Do they think doing something like that is going to make any difference? Because I just question the impact a hitting coach can have when a guy gets into the batter's box. I don't have any reason to think that Turner Ward's not doing his due diligence for all these guys. They need to hit. It sounds just really repetitive, but I do think that's where it boils down to, me personally. Mike, I don't think Ollie is in the comments. I think Ollie is hopefully enjoying his night. David, trade Goldschmidt for Josh Bell. I don't know if that's... wonder how Josh Bell's doing. I don't know if that's a trade anybody's going to make. Isn't he on the Nationals still, Josh Bell? No, he's on the Marlins. Wow, how did I get that wrong? He's been he's been off the Nationals for 2 years. And he's struggling too. Yeah, I don't really know. I'll check it. I think he's hitting like 200, isn't he? Yeah, he's hitting like 198, 200. That's okay. I don't think there's any benefit to that. I do like Garrett Crochet, though. He's on the White Sox. I would try to trade for him, for sure. Not a bad call, David. Didn't like your first one. I like your second one. GB is predicting that Ward will be fired at the end of the Arizona series. That would be surprising, but then again, maybe not so much, because I do think that when you look at where this team is and how things went last year and nobody really fell on the sword for it, it's not to say that that's the functional way that it works. Things are bad, so we need to, like, for show, we need to fire somebody to show that we mean business. But there's got to be some urgency, and if you can't change out the hitters, because I really don't think you can, it's some of your best players that we're talking about here. You can send down Jordan Walker if you want. Who are you bringing up? Like, are you calling up Matt Kupierniak for him? He's not going to out-hit the upper quadrant of Jordan Walker's ability. So I think you have to ride through it with the players, but maybe you don't have to ride through it with the coaches. And if that makes the players uncomfortable, maybe that's an okay thing. Like, if they're comfortable hitting the way they're hitting right now, which I wouldn't suggest that they are, but if it's a matter of, well, you fired the hitting coach that everybody likes, them liking the guy wasn't producing results. So I can understand that being a conversation. I don't personally subscribe to it, but I hear you guys. I hear you there. Corn says it's hard not to jump to this year's to lump this year's turd in with the even stinkier turd of last year's season, which is what Ollie had said Saturday he didn't want people to do, but he also understood that fans are going to be inclined to do that. And he's going to have to be the one, and his team is going to have to be the one to prove that folks should not lump 2023 in with 2024 and just kind of blend it in their mind as just one, you know, turd sandwich. They're going to have to do that on the field to show why it's different. Internally, Ollie can explain the preparation and the maybe they got a better kumbaya going. They can explain all those things. Until they win a different number of games, it doesn't functionally matter. I say that as respectfully as I can because I respect the work that these guys are putting in, but what matters is how many games they win. What matters is how many runs they score. So the vibes can be better. The friendliness of the clubhouse, the vibes of the clubhouse can be better. The work being put in can be consistent. They have to score more runs or they're less good than the other MLB teams. And it's a professional league, right? It's not a participatory sort of situation. So as much as I think last year we talked about the vibes of the clubhouse were really bad, there was clubhouse concerns. I see Andrew asking at what point do we give up on the offense and say the Cardinals are in the same track as last year? What's the level of concern in the clubhouse? I don't know that there's concern in the clubhouse. I think there's certainly frustration because they understand that the topics of conversation around this team are going to be, oh yeah, same old Cardinals as last year, when I think if you do get behind those walls, there are differences. There are differences in the way guys are able to interact with one another and the way guys feel about their team and maybe about their teammates in certain instances. But like I just said a moment ago, that doesn't actually matter unless this year's team produces more wins. So I think the frustration would be that the accusation is, they are who we thought they were. They're last year's Cardinals, and they didn't do enough to get better, when in reality, that clubhouse believes that's not the case. But if they can't produce the wins to show it's different, then, you know, they're kind of the emperor with no clothes. There's nowhere to hide from another season going the way that last year's did. It's still early enough that that's not going to happen, but they are 9-13. They are on that pace. They do have the same record through 22 games as they did last season. Those are facts. So that's sort of my take on that, Andrew, and I appreciate the question. Justin asks my thought on Goldschmidt. Is this his last year? Does he have anything left in him? So I'd take you back to 2021. April of 2021, I believe, Paul Goldschmidt had a 597 OPS, and he finished the month with 28 strikeouts. I'm pulling up the game log now to make sure I have this right. But my point in bringing this up in the first place is that we've seen Goldie start slow before. He had 214 with a 597 OPS in April of 2021, the year before he won the MVP. That month, I think he had 28 strikeouts. If Goldschmidt comes out tomorrow and goes 3-for-5 with a homer and a double, he's basically at those numbers. So do I think he's got something left? I do. I'll probably go down with the ship on Paul Goldschmidt, I got to say. And if people say, well, you're a homer, well, it's because you're too close to it. I guess I am too close to it. I've seen behind the scenes the work that he puts in, the dedication that he has, and I'm inclined to believe that he's going to come out of it. He doesn't sound any different, talk any different, work any different than when he's winning an MVP, and that's true of Paul Goldschmidt. Is he a couple of years older? Yeah, that's also true of Paul Goldschmidt, but like I said, I'm going to probably end up going down with the ship because in my mind, I will just believe that Paul Goldschmidt has that next gear that he's going to turn on. So that's where I'm at on that one. Korn says, I have this weird thought that the Cardinals just seem to have been passed up by baseball in the way that it's approached. I don't think that's wrong necessarily. They had an edge for years. They've certainly lost the edge, whether it's development, you name it. I think the edge that the Cardinal way sort of embodied is no longer. They don't have the edge over the league. They might be even keel with the league, but I think there's also going to be some areas where they're behind. But it's just this particular group of players. Why can they put 10 guys on base and not score one of them? What is the mindset differential? And that's not something that they're ever going to talk about because the question gets asked. Derek Gould asked Ollie today, what's the difference between an offense? Excuse me. I did it again. Didn't turn the camera off. Sorry, guys. What's the difference between an offense that doesn't get stuff going, doesn't get chances, and then the offense that can't come through when they have the opportunities, when guys are in scoring position? And all he said, well, they really don't think there is a difference. That's not something that they're really measuring out. So whether that's true or not, I do think there is probably somewhat of a difference because it's just, well, shoot, remove that. I was trying to remove the B-Shape Daily Live thing, and then it cut me off, so I'm sorry about that. I do think there's a difference. Like, on days where you can't even get a guy on base versus you're getting guys on base but you can't cash them in, I do think that there's a difference, but I also don't think that there's a way for Ollie to answer that question that's productive for his world. So, you know, I could see both sides on that. It's just a bummer to have the days where you get the great pitching and you say, it's not that you didn't put runners on the board, you just couldn't cash them in. I think that's almost more annoying than the days where you just can't get anybody. It's like, well, the other pitcher was probably great. Colin Ray was good enough today, but the Cardinals should have been able to score off of him. Apologies again. We are going through it, but whatever. I just have to accept that it's going to look how it's going to look. Sorry about it, guys. All right, Mike says, Mo looking to bring in Matt Adams. I don't think so. Brendan, not the God. We don't need to go that far, Coyote, but I appreciate you, man. Allison, how do we leave so many runners on base? Yeah. I feel like no other team has left more on base. Well, the Cardinals are 28th in batting average with runners in scoring position. So if that gives you an idea, I think the way you feel about it is right. They have really struggled in that regard. Last in the NL in run scored, Dominic's right about that. Andrew Kisner is killing it. So the Cardinals have re-signed him from last year. That's a good question. The answer to it is no. And at first I criticized and said, really, the Cardinals are going to, over like $1.5 million, they're going to not give Andrew Kisner, you know, his due? You got to be kidding me with that. But on the other side, Andrew Kisner actually not really killing it now that I look at the numbers. I know he homered today, but he's been a reserve, hasn't played much. But let's say even if he was killing it, I would stand by this. I was wrong about it. Not because I now say I don't like Andrew Kisner. I think they needed to have a place for Ivan Herrera to exist because he was the guy taking Kisner's spot, and he has actually been killing it this year, and the Cardinals saw that in him. They didn't see it in him soon enough because they did sign Wilson Contreras, and I don't think they would have done that if they had seen from Herrera in 2022 what they were hoping to see, and they didn't, and so they decided we don't have the heir to Yachty. We got to get somebody. But to hold Kisner would have just been holding back a young and talented Ivan Herrera who was ready for this opportunity. So as much as I was a little bit critical, I think I felt a little bit like, you know, they did Andrew Kisner a little dirty. But once he landed and got a little bit of money, he's a good player, I was cool with it. And then once we saw what Herrera can really do, I mean, he should be in the lineup every single day. So, no, I don't think it was a mistake at this point, which is I changed my mind on that. I'll tell you when I'm wrong about something. I thought at the time that it was a mistake, or it at least was very curious, and I was mildly critical of it. I think it was the right move, though, now, looking back. Coyote says, really bums me out that Gray was emotional in the postgame, nearly blaming himself. The dude cares a lot. He knows it wasn't his fault. They didn't score runs. But, and like I said in a video I posted earlier tonight on the YouTube channel, I said that the Cardinal offense owes Sonny Gray an apology. And within that video, talking about the fact that they might still be playing in extra innings if Sonny hadn't given up those two runs because the Cardinals weren't scoring today. They just weren't. Allison wants to know, do I think Matt Holliday ever saw and then it was gone? Dad garn it. I'll find it. Do you think Matt Holliday ever saw how things were going before the season when he backed out? No, because he backed out before even the preseason started. He backed out before winter warmup had happened, right? So, no, Matt Holliday agreed to do a job that he never should have agreed to do because he didn't need to do it. And I think he realized, wow, that would be a lot of work. It would be cool to hang out and be on a staff with my buddies and stuff, but also it's more of a commitment than I want. It's what happened with Holliday, and I don't blame him for it. It did put the Cardinals in a bad spot, but it happens. It's what happened with Yachty this offseason. Yachty, it sounded good. It always sounds good in theory, and then you start to get into it, and you're like, yeah, I don't really want to be a full-time coach. Yachty barely wants to be an advisor at this point, which is fine. Probably don't commit to doing it at that point, but it is what it is. It is what it is. And in Yachty's role, it's not like they're missing much because he wasn't going to have a lot of an impact anyway. And maybe he'll still show up. I doubt it. Not if it's this kind of season, he won't come near it, if I had to guess. But that is what it is. Scott says this is going to be a similar repeat to last year. Not completely the same, but kind of. Yeah, I mean, it could be. It could be. I don't know what slop top break for B even means, but Mike, it sounds cool. Jeff thinks 72 to 76 wins. Hopefully not. Hopefully not. Coyote says Sonny is such a good pitcher. Hope we remain competitive just for Gray because he does deserve it. Yeah, he does. Clay says I was not concerned until today's game. After scoring 5 yesterday, I thought today might have been the first time that they put it together for a really good looking win. Yeah, they did do some things offensively on Saturday that you liked. And then they kind of regressed on Sunday. Not going to Doomer just yet. There's still time for us to get it going, but we can't dig this hole much deeper. I'd agree with that too. Dale says playoff hockey is made today better. Jets and Avs was wild. I haven't watched a moment of hockey. That's on me. How bad has the attendance been? Mike wants to know. How long until ownership does something? I think the attendance has been fine relative to what's going on. This weekend has been pretty solid attendance-wise. The weekday games are not well attended at this point, but I think when it gets a little warmer, it might be. But no, they're announcing 32,000, and there's not that many people there. There's not 32,000 in the seats during the weekdays. So when will they do something about it? I don't think they will. I think that if this season goes off the rails, there's a whole plan in place, a soft retool that's gonna happen. The parachute will be pulled. That's going to involve Mozeliak stepping back into a background role, not running the team anymore day to day. I think Chaim Bloom would be my leader in the clubhouse for who would take over personally. Not saying it's a guarantee, but he'd be my leader in the clubhouse. They lose 90 games this year. That's what I predict. And then they're going to have traded Goldie in July, or they'll just let him walk. They'll trade Arenado. If they trade Goldie in July and not Arenado, that's going to be uncomfortable for the final few months for Nolan. But if that's what happens, they'll trade Arenado in the offseason. They're going to shed that payroll, and they're not going to get anything for him. I know people say, well, if Arenado, one of the best players in the league, they have to get a bunch for him. No, they'll probably tell the Dodgers, please just take the money because we're trimming payroll. And the Dodgers will go, that's fine, but you're not getting great prospects back. That's what that trade would look like. Unless Arenado, turns into an MVP candidate to where the Dodgers would then, the Cardinals would have the leverage back over that. That's kind of what I would predict there. And then Lynn and Gibson probably are not brought back. And then you're trading away guys like Edmund, guys like Helsley, guys who have some money to their name, not picking up Gallegos' option. And you're rolling into next year with a $100 million payroll. That's not going to put the butts in seats. So, Mike, I think the how long until ownership actually does something, you're not going to like my answer to that, because I think if this goes bad, they're going to step back instead of trying to swim upstream for another year. They're going to take a step back in 2025 so that they can assess, so that they can put guys like Sem Robersa and Andre Pallante in the rotation. I think Pallante, was when he was optioned today, I think they said he's going to be a starter in Memphis. So, like, that's really what I expect, is a step back and a retool that can happen for 1 year, and then you reassess, and then you can approach the offseason after 2025 with some real zest in free agency in the trade market. And I think Chaim Bloom would be a guy that could handle that. So I'll have this exact conversation more and more later on this summer if they continue to have a losing record, because I'll keep repeating that that's what I think that we're going to see if it gets into that. Jacob says they lost against a quad A pitcher today in a game where Gray did something that a Cardinal pitcher hadn't done in a decade. The team is broken, beyond broken. Colin Ray is not a quad A pitcher, though. And I might only be saying that because I took a group photo for his family this afternoon before the game over at Ballpark Village. There's 15, 20 people with Brewers number 48 Ray jerseys on. So it was not difficult to guess who those folks were. No, he had a 2.70 ERA coming into today. He had a 4 or 5 ERA last year. He hasn't played in, let's see, was he in the minors at all last year? Little bit, 4 games. No, I don't agree with the quad A, though. Gray's better than him and outpitched him, in my opinion, but the Cardinals didn't do their jobs offensively. Was really hoping Sonny could be the stopper today, something that was missing last year. He did his job. Yeah, he did. And the Cardinal offense did not do theirs. Coyote says it's true that it's early. The real concern is if it gets worse, is this a team that can climb up from a bad deficit? Sometimes even great teams are not able to do that. Luck plays a role, 100%. They cannot afford to go too deep into the hole. They can't. I don't think they're too far gone right now, but they're going to be there at some point if this continues offensively. Aaron says the way things are going, I'm starting to think they may regret not trading Goldie last year. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to look back in hindsight and say that, though. They were wanting to be a good team this year. They had every hope of being a good team. Maybe they still will be one. They'll find a way to turn into one. Right now, they aren't a good one because of what the offense is failing to do. But yeah, if at the end of the day, this is an 88 loss season, they'll go, yeah, obviously hindsight's 20/20. It's the same thing when they didn't trade Alex Reyes in a year that they even made the playoffs that year, but it was like that was his all-star season and he never had more value than in that moment. He looked like, you know, just an elite closer in the making, and then he never was healthy again. So it's easy always to look back in hindsight, but I don't think they handled it wrong in the moment. I think you're just, if it's a zero sum of, yep, would it have been better had they done it? Yeah, easy to say now, but I don't blame them for not doing it, if that makes sense. Cardinals offense will bounce back somewhat. That's from Scott. But historically, what has happened the past few years, is the pitching will be good, then no offense, and then they'll have offense and no pitching. Yeah, they need those parts to operate at the same time, in sync with one another. And sometimes there will be a 3-2 game that you win because the offense was not in sync, but they found a way to get that extra run that they needed to support a pitching staff that they recognized needed it from them on that day. I think there is absolutely merit to that. Players downplay it when you ask them about it, but I do believe it's real. Jeff says, don't believe this organization does a nice job of developing young offensive talent. Way too many swings and misses, pun intended. Yeah, I agree. They have, that's another area where I would say the edge is lost. They don't have that same edge anymore that they used to. Not on the pitching side and not on the position player side either. Like a guy like Brendan Donovan, you can credit him for having been developed. He developed himself. That's just the type of player he is. I don't know how much I can credit the Cardinals for getting it out of Brendan Donovan. Brendan Donovan was going to be successful at this game if it killed him. Like, this is his nature. So, you know, they haven't developed Jordan Walker very well. It's not to say that Jordan Walker doesn't have that killer instinct too and wants to be great, but there are more things I think they could do with a guy like him that they haven't been able to figure it out. And there is a level of responsibility for that. Aaron wants to see Newt Barr in center a few days a week. You're going to get your chance. Siani's playing well right now, so they're going to keep rolling him, but you don't send down Victor Scott and then never have a willingness to play Newt in center. But I will say, be careful what you wish for, because if that ends up costing you defensively, end up looking at the number of balls in the gaps that aren't going to get caught, that would currently get caught if you have a plus left fielder in Newt, a plus center fielder in Siani. If you go Newton center and then Donovan in left with Walker in right, that's a lot of ground that may not get covered. That's my only thought with that. But I also think it's going to happen, so I get it. I like Michael Siani, though, by the way. Like, he's been very impressive to me. The batting average is the batting average. But in terms of the role that he's been asked to play, I think he's doing a nice job. Deserves some credit. Dominic says something's wrong with the hitting philosophy as a whole. Where has the power gone throughout the whole lineup? I know we joked about it in spring, but now it's 22 games through the season. Look, I don't think their philosophy is to not hit home runs. I don't think it's a philosophical thing. I think it's an execution thing. And their lineup is a guy that, you know, is full of guys that have historically had homers as part of their game. Their power is completely gone right now. Hopefully in July, we're looking at this as like, oh yeah, remember when they didn't hit any homers and they bounced back, but it doesn't feel like they're going to that extent. It doesn't feel like they're just going to suddenly finish the season ranked 14th in MLB in homers. It doesn't feel like they have that in them right now. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of where it's, again, 22 games is 22 games, but it's enough of a sample that you look at and go, it's not nothing at this point. Sonny was awesome and has been so far. Offense is the current biggest issue. That's Scott. Goldie Walker, Gorman are dead weight right now. Yep, but guess what? They're who you're going to need. You're not going to win by benching those guys or sending them down. It's not going to work out. Korn says, I feel bad for Ollie. What's he supposed to do? I would agree. There's nothing to change other than tell those guys to freaking hit. And you can't do that. So, Justin says, Brendan Schaefer, any news on Carpenter going on rehab in Springfield or Memphis this week? I do not have the news on that. I believe they thought maybe early this week he would go out, but it ended up being a little bit more of a delay because he's not, I don't think a re-injury or anything, but I think they're taking it a little slower is what I read from today. I wasn't there, so I don't know for sure. Thought going into the season, the Cardinals needed another bat, especially in the outfield, Bellinger or Soler. Yeah, Jay, that's a fair point, man. I did say Bellinger would have been a really nice piece to tie this team together, and I still feel that way. And I said that over another starting pitcher. People said, get Montgomery. I said, get Bellinger. If you're going to sign anybody, sign Bellinger. Now, I say that without knowing how he's done to begin the season. Looks like he's hitting for a pretty low batting average so far. Let's see the power. He's hitting 714 OPS, so nothing crazy at all. Probably, you know, not living up to the contract just yet, but it's 22 games into the season. Redbirds, I like the lineup change. I just want to see fun at this point. Never clutch, but we can turn it around. I like it. I don't disagree with anything said there. Try Jordan Walker in the bullpen comments. Okay, I don't think they're going to do that. Adam, what's the deal with them not having any right-handed bats on the bench? Makes the Crawford and Carpenter signings even more dumb. Yeah, they don't. They don't have any right-handed bats really on the bench other than Herrera, and he needs to be in the lineup. So, yeah, Crawford signing is not looking good, guys. They didn't need to do it. I'm just going to say they didn't need to do it. They tend to lean back on the veteran that they just feel like on paper it makes sense and is safe and it won't be a disaster. But, like, he's not brought anything to the table at this point. And Fermin could be doing the same job that Crawford is doing. Fermin is not a shortstop, not a great arm. I think he's a better second baseman. Brandon Crawford's, you know, maybe not a shortstop at this point in his career, right? Like, it's all he's ever played, but it does appear that he's perhaps lost a step. And Mason Winn is the dude. I think what happened is, and you'd have to check me on the dates on this, but I think it's right that spring training, Mason Winn misses a few days because of a back stiffness, and a few days later, they sign Brandon Crawford. The back thing, let's say, never really fully went away, as we heard over the past couple of weeks. That was a thing that we talked about. And so, to me, that's what ended up happening. They said, look, in a world where Mason Winn's back is a thing, we're going to need a bona fide shortstop that's experienced to be able to play maybe multiple times per week until Mason Winn kind of sees his way through this. I think the timing of that matches why the Cardinals might have been feeling the urgency to go get an outside shortstop. I think you could get away with, and other teams would do this. Other teams wouldn't say we need a full roster spot for a guy to back up our rookie shortstop that ultimately we would like to see him play every day. That's not really a role that you need on a team. A lot of teams wouldn't say you need a Matt Carpenter role on your team. That was less about the utility of him in the lineup and on your bench, and I get that he's on the IL right now, so he's not technically taking up a bench spot, but, you know, the veterans wanted him. Paul Goldschmidt was a guy who was outspoken about wanting the Cardinals to sign him. All right, that's great. If a guy like Goldie's getting what he wants on that front, he's got to produce. I'm not saying like it's a hey, you got this, you got what you wanted, so start hitting, because he's doing the best that he can to start hitting. But they're clogging up the roster with guys that are maybe not, there's not a lot of utility for. And Carpenter might be fine offensively. He hurt the oblique. He looked like pretty good during the spring. So maybe I'm being unfair with that. And Crawford was not signed to be a veteran leader guy. They signed him because they needed a shortstop in their eyes. But yeah, the two guys being left-handed, that doesn't help matters either. There's not a lot of utility there, especially when Carp comes back. That's another lefty that you're adding to the mix. And there's, in a DH world, there's not as many pinch hit opportunities to be had unless your guys that are starting are struggling so much that you pinch hit for them, which ironically is what's happening right now for the Cardinals. Give me a second. So I understand that question. The bench is not efficient. The way they constructed it, it's not efficient. Coyote said, please don't push through the stream if you're feeling too terrible. We appreciate the content, but please rest and take care of yourself. If you're feeling rough, your upload schedule is nuts. My schedule is nuts. Thank you guys for appreciating that. I got to keep it going because honestly, I make a few bucks off each video. And if I'm not putting out videos, I'm not making money off of it. And I'm trying to make this part of my career and my revenue in my enterprises. So that's just the name of the game, man. I'm trying to grit through for it. So, and that's why if you're seeing some ads, that's why, because there's got to be ads or I do this for free, and I cannot do it for free at this stage in my career. And by the way, on Spotify, there may be soon the ability to watch these B-Shaped Daily podcasts or listen to them and turn off ads. I haven't uploaded it yet or unleashed it yet, but I'm thinking at some point I will be able to do so. I'm just making sure I do it right so that I don't mess anything up with my Spotify stream, because I have like 475 followers on there, not nearly as much as on YouTube, but Spotify's, it's a very good listening experience too. So if you would like to try that out, B-Shaped Daily on Spotify and give it a try. And there will be a point in time where you can pay like a small monthly subscription and then you won't have ads. So if you watch me every day and you go, I don't know, I like the guy, I'll support him for $5 a month, and I get something out of it by having no ads, that may be possible soon on YouTube. So stay tuned. Adam says, I think that from top to bottom, this organization has become stale until the DeWitts realize that nothing is going to change. I mean, there is an element of what worked before doesn't work now, and I think they've rested on that a little bit too long. Should they try to lead off Mason Wynn? Donovan's great, nothing against him, but he could bat number two. Maybe Mason could be a spark. Not opposed to it. Any lineup thing you might suggest other than like sitting the studs, I would be okay with moving the order of almost anything, because I think at this point it can't get worse. And neither can my physical health right now get worse. We're at an hour. We might have to cut it a little bit shorter tonight, but I got so many comments. I'm going to try to, wow. Lots of comments. Springfield Cardinals. I have not actually, yeah, yes, I have. I've been to Springfield Cardinals games. It's been a while. Spencer's talking about movement happening on the Cardinals. There's so much movement happening, no consistency. Yeah, that's fair. Do I think ownership will sell the club, Tony? No, I do not. Gorman has hurt us at second base. Not defensively, I don't think, Sammy. Not to my eyes, anyway. You'd rather see Carpenter at second. Well, he's not healthy. See Ramirez. He's not healthy just yet, and I also think he's not really a very good glove at second. And the upside for Gorman, I think, is higher offensively than Carp, too. Spencer says, have not been impressed with Pallante. Well, he's in AAA. That's the good news for you. I wonder if Goldie has tried a little lighter bat from Noah. You know, I don't know. I think I'm going to leave that to Goldie to figure out. I don't think he doesn't need me thinking what he needs to do with the bat that he swings. Kevin, all we are for Crawford is one last easy $13 million before he retires. That was ridiculous when we had veterans by then. Crawford is not making $13 million. I think he's making two. So just to correct that, the thing about baseball that you might not understand just by focals. Jared, I like that. Mo made moves on things today. May have been a little late, but he realizes what's happening, was trying to rely on guys. I respect that. Yeah, the Victor Scott thing is he wasn't hitting and he wasn't playing even every day. Like when Siani starts out playing you, Victor needs to go to Memphis because he needs to play every day and get the experience. So when he wasn't getting in the lineup every day, that, and I don't know if that was Ollie almost forcing Mo's hand, but I don't think it necessarily was. I think it was just the writing was on the wall at that point. Corn suggesting that Pallante is the next John Gant. Jeff asking if I am sure that I'm not allergic to the cat that just made an appearance. I am not allergic to the cat. She's still back there? Yeah, she's still back there. She's chilling. Fun fact, the cat is named after a former Cardinal. If you know, you know, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. And you won't guess it if you don't already know. I have told it publicly before, but if you have not already heard me say it, I swear you would never get it. Very obscure. Have I read the DeRosa article on Hicks? Interesting points about how he was encouraged to pitch in St. Louis, how it may have even contributed to injury. I have not seen that, no. But I'd like to. That sounds interesting. I'm gonna Google article on Hicks and put that into my Google just so I have it for later so I can follow up on that. Let's see. The team's offense illustrates the value of having one or two high, consistent, high average hitters. Those hitters make things happen consistently in a way that low average, high on base does not. I guess your point would be like when you're talking about runners in scoring position, a walk is not as good unless the bases are loaded. And even then, it's not as good as a single. But getting on base and knowing the strike zone is a productive thing. I don't think the Cardinals have too many low average, high on base guys. Nootbaar maybe qualifies as that. I'm not going to just look at what their average is over 22 games and say that, you know, like Donovan can be a good average guy and an even better on base guy. But a guy like Goldschmidt is not supposed to be hitting 180. So that's the deal. Dunk wants to know who they're taking in the first round of the draft. Too early for me to go there, but we'll get there eventually. Because you don't know who's going to be available. So it's kind of hard to say. Joseph says they had better offensive stats last year at this time. Yeah, that's a yikes, but probably true. The pitching was the problem last year, and now it's the hitting. Talking about the turd sandwiches that I referenced. Yeah, sorry about that, folks. Getting a little gratuitous with the potty humor. Sorry. Gilbert is being discussed as an early trade with the Yankees. STL should consider that. They need offense, too. Yeah, Logan Gilbert, I mean, if he were being traded, I'd be interested, but it's not going to help your lineup. It's weird, but that's kind of what's wrong right now is the lineup and not the pitching. It's gotten mixed up. Redbird says, hear me out. He spelled Mason Wynn's name wrong, but he said Wynn, Wilson, Nootbaar, Nolan, Donovan, Goldie for the lineup. Like I said, do whatever you want with the lineup. It's not going to matter to me. I'm just not benching Goldie or Gorman. They have to get it going. If they don't, team's not going to win. Dave said, Cardinals can't expect great results when you don't really improve the team from last year's team. What made all of us think that it would be different from last year? Fans deserve better. Well, I don't know that that's a fair thing to say. The pitching is undoubtedly better. They added Sonny Gray. They added Lance Lynn. Even Kyle Gibson is an improvement over what they were running out as the number five last year. Like, if you compare Gibson to Waino, it's not even close. Waino was the worst pitcher in baseball, and Kyle Gibson is holding his own at a minimum. So they got better on the pitching side. I think the bullpen's better as well. Kittredge is a huge get for that. Keenan Middleton, I think, will be once he's healthy. The lineup is what didn't change at all. And last year, I think they were like 19th in runs scored. But the reason to believe that they could improve on that is simply the last 2 months of the season last year weren't real, and they just had a bunch of guys injured. And even if they weren't that injured, some of them were, but the ones that weren't, it's just like, go on the IL because what's it matter anymore? They had a bunch of random dudes playing out the rest of the season in September last year. So that obviously lowered their average runs per game, I think. And so you figure having your guys healthy would make 2024 offense better than 2023, even if you don't change a lot. And a guy like Wynn, who hit 150, can now hit 300 and be a positive force. A guy like Jordan Walker, like, again, I don't agree with why did anybody think the offense would be better? Because why would 21-year-old Jordan Walker get worse and not take a step forward? Well, I don't know, but that's what's happened. Why would Gorman, after he finally establishes himself, he can hit lefties, he's doing it all, get worse? I don't know, but it's happened. You could make the case that we could have seen Goldie getting worse coming because of age, Arenado because of age, but Arenado's now hitting fine, and Goldie is problematic, but that's the one example. Everybody else, we're talking about young players, get a full, healthy Lars Nootbaar. That should help you. There was a lot of reason to believe they could be better offensively, in my opinion. Are they better? No, they're not. They're right now, they're much, much worse. Alabama Buckies was literal hell. I was stuck in the car for an hour in line to leave the lot. Daytona Beach is the Buckies that's exactly like that in Florida. Skip that one. It's crazy. The parking lot is always crazy. Buckies is ridiculously great, though. Michaelis has not done his job. Bad contract. Yeah, Jeff, that was a bad contract, but again, hindsight 2020. I think the Cardinals misjudged what the pitching market would be there. They went and got a guy that they already had, they're already familiar with, and so they just said, well, going rate's going to be this, when they probably could have let that play out. Signing pitchers to early extensions feels like, unless they're just a superstar, almost feels like the wrong move, because it's going to be affordable in the market. Those guys aren't getting overpaid. You know, Seth Lugo, 3 years, $45 million with the Royals this year. He's been great. But, like, you could get the Seth Lugos. You can get guys like that and have it be okay, and that's not breaking the bank. The Cardinals, for whatever reason, you know, decided they... I think it was a case of, well, we know that we're going to maybe need three starters, and we don't want to need a fourth starter in 2024, so let's lock up Michaelis and make sure that's taken care of. I think that's all it was. Joseph asking why there's commercials during a live stream, just asking, so I can make money off of it, is the answer. I'm working right now. This is work for me for, you know, an hour and a half. So it's to make money. Sorry, you have to watch some ads, but that's the way it is. Sometimes we get some super chats, and that changes the dynamic of the deal. But yeah, that's the answer, Joe, is I got it. It's a business. It's a business. Korn says Edmund and Carlson may be more important than we thought. Probably more so Edmund being the more stable hitter. Yeah, here's what they would have brought to the table, especially Edmund. The Victor Scott level defense with league average offense. Instead of being basically, you know, one of the statistically worst hitters in MLB, as Victor was, you get league average, which is, again, you might go, well, league average, that's just kind of like mediocre. Right. But it's better than what Victor was giving you by a lot, because he wasn't contributing. And again, I'm not knocking the kid. I like that they gave him a shot. It didn't work out. I think if he's not going to play here, he's got to be playing somewhere, so you send him down. But yeah, that's why Edmund does bring value, and even Carlson, I think that applies to him as well. And I think Carlson will be back before Edmund, so we may see Carlson play some center field even yet. Let's see. Dunk, I don't agree that Marmol is a terrible locker room guy. I've actually been in the locker room, so I don't know. I don't know if you've been in there. I haven't seen you. We're talking about Trevor Bauer. That's great. Trevor Bauer, I don't know what his talent is right now. I saw he got shelled in a recent outing, but he's never being signed by an MLB team, so you can stop talking about him. Cardinals won't be signing Trevor Bauer, and also no other MLB team will be. So that's, don't just blame the Cardinals. Go in the 29 other live streams about MLB teams and complain to their people too, because it's not unique to the Cardinals. Kenneth says he hates that Bauer has been blackballed from the league, and he hates it. You know, do some research. Caleb, this offense is so confusing to me. I don't get it. And my Pelicans just lost. I can't win with the sports thing. Yeah, sports are bad, and then you die, brother. I don't really know what else there is to say there. Oh, I guess we're talking about Bauer because he had a good day today. Well, that's good. No, can Trevor Bauer bat cleanup? and hit 30 home runs in a season. Otherwise, I don't really know what we're talking about. But no, his presence not allowed to help this team contend for World Series. Exactly. His presence is not welcomed. It won't be welcomed on 30 teams. There won't be a team that signs him. It's not unique to the Cardinals. There are reasons for it. MLB knows the reasons. MLB teams know the reasons. And that's why he's not being signed. It's not complex. It isn't. Sammy thinks Edmund should be at second. I completely disagree. He's not useless as a center fielder. I just told you what he brought as the center fielder. He brings really good range and athleticism so they can track down balls for guys like Miles Michaelis who get soft contact hit to the warning track on him. It's valuable to a pitching staff to have a guy in center field who can track those balls down. Edmund at second does not make any sense on this team because they don't have a guy that can consistently hit in center field and hold his own offensively while doing what Edmund can do defensively. And they have two second basemen, Gorman and Donovan, who do a fine job. So Ryan wants to know if I'm going on Hot Take Central Wednesday. Normally going to be Fridays. I expect it to be Friday this week, Ryan, but they just needed me last week. The cat will be in town Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Then he'll go out on the road. So I imagine they will not have an extra need for me this Wednesday. Expect Hot Take Central for Friday if you guys are following when I am on the show. Korn did name the cat correctly. Yes, Korn is an OG. That's how he knew that. By the way, Justin, I'd like to go to another Springfield Cardinals game. It's just tough, man. With the baby, it's tough because getting out there and back is like a 6-hour thing, and so it's just tough to find the weekend to do that sometimes. Brendan is spicy. Yeah, sick. Brendan is spicy. I'm getting a little spicy because the Bauer comments, I see him on YouTube all the time, and I respect you if you're making them. I don't think you're a bad person if you say the Cardinals should sign Bauer. I do think you lack some degree of the intelligence necessary to recognize the reasons he's not being signed. Dunk says Newt is the perennial center fielder. Well, he hasn't played center field once this year. He hasn't played there yet. I think he will very soon. I don't think he defensively profiles there. And center field is a place where you can get kind of banged up, and he's kind of been on that Tyler O'Neill track a little bit, that Dylan Carlson track a little bit of having some nagging injuries get to him. And you look at all the guys the Cardinals have tried in center over the years, man, they get beat up sometimes. So that's tough. Tommy Edman. The wrist was the thing for Edman, but otherwise I don't think he was really too banged up. Caleb was hoping the offense being bad and the pitching being decent would stop the Bauer discourse. I was wrong. Yeah, I was hoping too. My wife tried to follow the game with me yesterday, and it was a failure by inning four. Well, Korn, yeah, Saturday's game sucked. Tell your wife to watch when they're good. Tell them, wait for them to get a 7-0 lead, and then you can tell her to tune in. Anyone see the video of Marmol getting booed? I did not see the video, but it doesn't surprise me. But I think I'll continue to say Cardinals fans have it wrong about Ollie, but I'm not going to convince any of you. He's going to have to win games or you won't care. And that's right. That's fair. And that he wouldn't disagree with that either. He thinks that's exactly the way it should be. Too many sheep at STL. That's right. We're sheep. Bah. I don't know. I don't have anything else to say for that. Jesse, we need to cook. We certainly do. Am I not a true fan if I low-key want the season to go horribly and ignite change? Yeah, I think, look, I can't tell you you're not a true fan. I think you're fanning, I'm not going to tell you how to fan, but that would be like the wrong way to fan. That would be a little bit, I get it though, because fans don't like to be stuck in the middle, and they feel like right now the Cardinals have a chance to kind of be perennially stuck in the middle. So I get it, but no, I don't want it to go horribly. If I were a Cardinal fan, I wouldn't want that either. CJ, I'm more worried about Michaelis than Goldie. We've got to get Michaelis back to all-star form. Yeah, that's a concern. No bite on the slider when he was giving up bombs on Saturday. Location in 1-2 and 0-2 counts is he just gets a little bit too careless, I think. Doesn't execute. Edmund was bad at the plate last year until the last month. It's the same when they moved Karp to first base. Makes him worst hitting at their position in MLB. Victor Scott played center field, Sammy. That's why they were the worst hitting at their position in MLB. Yes, it'd be great. If you can find a 110 OPS plus center fielder who is also good defensively, go for it. Lars Nootbaar can be that OPS plus. I don't think he's going to end up being that level of defensive center fielder that they need. And I also don't know about, you know, would it bang up his body a little too much to play there? Ryan says fans should voice their opinions to the front office, and I have no problem with fans doing that. And they did on opening day. They booed the crap out of Mo. I didn't remember them booing Ollie. Jared, any chance you could post an alert before you go live for heads up so you don't miss your greatness? Jared, I will work on that. It's just one of those things where, like, sometimes my night's going and I'm like, you know what? I really should get on. I really should do a live. And so it's kind of last minute. I would have more success, I bet, if I telegraphed it ahead of time. So I will work on that. And I do appreciate the suggestion. 40 likes. Let's get it to 50. At the end of the day, fans make up 90% of the profits for the Cardinals. That's Ryan. Jesse says, am I crazy to suggest trading Gray at the deadline if the Cards are out of it? Yes. Good grief. You at least need something to be a fan for. And he's a good one. Dunk says Cardinals are taking Cagliano at 7 in the draft, and we'll have our second coming of Ohtani. Do you think the Cardinals are the right team to draft a two-way player? I'm just asking you in your heart of hearts, do you think that would be what should happen? And I'm not even going to give my opinion, but I'm asking the question. Let's see, I read that one. I think we're getting close to the end here on the comments. And that's a good thing because it's been an hour and 18 minutes. My voice is shot. Eduardo Perez could be a good batting instructor. Kenneth says the Cardinals aren't a team that has gone through a full-blown rebuild in a long time. It's a good thing. Just unsure if they'll go about it correctly if that were to happen. I think Chaim Bloom, like, you have to change the guy that would be doing it. It can't be Mo doing the rebuild, right? So I think if you get the right people in there, it could work. But I also, they will not do a full-blown rebuild. It will be a retool, $100 million payroll. I will tell you the lineup right now. Catcher, let's say catcher, Herrera, first base, Contreras, second base, Gorman. No. Second base, Donovan. Shortstop, Mason Winn. Third base, Gorman. Left field, Newt Barr. Center field, Victor Scott / Edmund. They'll probably trade Edmund, though, because he makes a little bit of money. But let's just say Victor's not ready, so Edmund in center for next year. And right field, Jordan Walker. And, you know, DH Burleson or Burleson's first base and DH's Contreras or whatever. Like, that could absolutely happen. And that team with Sonny Gray, Michaelis, Mats, Palante, Sam Robertson. Like, I don't know what the pitching would be. You'd trade Helsley, so the bullpen's going to be, I'm going to be skeptical on the bullpen. But, like, that team could win 77 games just as easily as this one could. So, they'll just do it for half the price on payroll. It's a retool more than a rebuild. And then they'll find out about some of their prospects or their young guys in the org and see which of them should stick around for 2026. And they'll spend some money in the offseason before that 2026 season. That's how the rebuild will work. If they do badly this year. If this year doesn't turn around. Korn wants Michaelis to stop being funny and pitch well. I think he should do both. I think he should try to do both at the same time. Korn also said he'll watch every ad for me. So thank you. Appreciate that. And I'm sorry that they're during the live stream. But again, I got to deal with what I can deal with here to make this worthwhile. There was a good question about coaching that somebody asked that I missed, unfortunately. And I'm trying to scroll back and find it. Jesse had said on the Bauer stuff, I think the team already has a rotten locker room and lack of leadership. Adding Bauer would not help. I don't think they do anymore. I think the locker room, the clubhouse is a much better place leadership-wise this year, and it should be that way because they spent money to bring that characteristic in. Whether that's something they should have bothered spending on or not, I think is a worthwhile conversation, but they thought it would be the way they could accrue more wins, and to this point, that has not happened. Diamondbacks coming into town. Scott wants to see a spark against Arizona in this series. While Sammy thinks the Cardinals should just copy the D-backs blueprint, get back to fundamentals and base running, shell of our former self. Yeah, that would be interesting. That would be interesting if they look, they're not hitting home runs anyway. Be a great base running team, be great defensively, pitch well. You can win games that way. But right now, the Cardinals they're every night it feels like they're missing one of the little elements that they need, one of the little things that they need. Sammy asked if I'd shake up the coaching staff. Personally, no, because I think it's the players, but I wouldn't be offended if you said, look, I think you need to look at the hitting coach situation. And again, if it's a question of people are comfortable with him, So they like him. That's great that they like him. Is he getting the most out of him? Is it even his responsibility to get the most out of him? Well, it's called the hitting coach, so probably the answer to that should be yes. You should be judged in some way as to how your coaching is effective or isn't. But at this point, you know, it is what it is. Like this, this Cardinals team isn't hitting. If you want to blame the coach for that, or again, you could fire the hitting coach that everybody likes, hire somebody that everybody hates, and they might just start hitting to spite the new guy because they hate him. I don't know. Like whatever voodoo, you know, Jedi mind tricks you think you need to play with the coaching staff, whatever. I think it's a little insensitive because these are guys with jobs and it's not just like playing God of, wouldn't it be crazy if we just pissed people off by doing this? Like, I don't necessarily get into that, but for a fan, I understand why you guys would talk about that for sure. Ryan says the Cardinals are the same through 21 games in 23 and 24. Excuse me. Well, it's not 8-13. It's 9-13 through 22 games. And yes, it is the same as last year. Caleb says, last thing for me, and that I'm going back to my homework. If this season continues down this path, the Cardinals will have wasted Goldie and Nato, and that is hard to stomach. Yes, 100% true. 100% true. If this season does not turn around, I think you'll have wasted them both because I think both will be gone next year if this season doesn't turn around. Soaked Turtle says, I think Ollie is all right, but he gets blamed all the time, but I think it's becoming a scapegoat for the fan base. I feel like it won't fix anything. I feel like you're right. I feel like you're right. I absolutely agree with that. And the run differential is worse this year than it was 22 games last year. I think that might be the case too. John, what's up, man? John just found that we're live. He's going to go back to the beginning and see it all. That's a good call, John, because we're actually at the end, I think. We're going to probably wrap this thing up. Clay asking the ceiling for Sajacy. I think Brendan Donovan is the ceiling for Sajacy, or like an actual possible outcome for Sajacy. I think he could be really good. I don't know what the plan long-term is. He's probably on that 2025 team, though, especially if they have a rebuild. Sajacy could play some second, some third, maybe even a little short. And if he hits, he hits. I like Sajacy. If I missed your comment tonight, folks, at BSchaefer12 on Twitter. Again, I'm reminding you guys in this live stream, Spotify, follow BSchaef Daily. It's my podcast. It's just B and then the first eight letters of my last name. What was it? First seven letters of my last name, the double F. BSchaef Daily. Click follow on Spotify if you have the app. Soon, it will be possible for you to watch, not the live streams on YouTube, but you can listen back when I do the podcast daily. Those will be ad-free. Not yet, but soon. So subscribe now. There's a possibility to subscribe and get them ad-free if you choose to do so. Follow it now, and that way when I can get that all taken care of, you'll be available to then add a subscription if you choose to do so. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I appreciate you guys so much. I'm sorry that I'm under the weather, and this may not have been the most fantabulous episode of Cardinal Talk you've ever heard, but we gritted through it. We grinded, and we can be proud of that. Thank you guys so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing, and for commenting. We'll talk to you next time on BSchaef Daily Live. Peace.